Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. We're reaching you live from Etimian Crescent here on the island, Lagos, Nigeria. A very lovely morning to you. Watching live on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3 Lagos. Thank you for always tuning. We appreciate your time. And thank you for making Nigeria Info your preferred talk radio in this part of the world. We're still number one, and we'd like to say a very big thank you to the entire Lagos who listens to you. Know yourselves. Yeah, I can't even start to mention who you are, but you know yourselves. You know how religiously you listen to Nigeria Info, and we want to say we don't ever take you for granted. Our shows are designed in such a way that will drive conversation. We give you the platform to say whatever it is you've got to say concerning these conversations, and because we know that you have the need to talk, you have the right to be heard, and that's why we have make sure that our shows are structured in that way, back to back, from one conversation to the other. I'm Sharif Quadri. Nice to meet you if you're just tuning in. Today we're talking about prison decongestion. The Minister of Interior, Arigbeshola, a week ago, was proposing at least 30% reduction of inmates from custodial centers across the country. Arigbeshola said more than 30%, or 90% rather, of the inmates were being held for contravening, according to him, various state laws. That, so, you know, these prisoners, 90% of them were actually, you know, prisoners of the state, not the federal. That only about 10% of them committed federal crimes. He said that 70% of the 75,635 inmates at present, you know, were awaiting trial. 70% of the inmates are awaiting trial inmates. And that the federal offenders, you know, in the system were far less than 10%, saying that the bulk of people in custodial centers across the country were those who had run foul of state laws. So he's proposing that he's going to meet with state governors to see whether 30% of, you know, inmates in custodial centers across states will be released. Maybe a lot of people have said, Benny, what are you doing? Well, I'm not calling him Ogbeni. That's what he calls himself. He said, his name is Ogbeni Rauf Arigbeshola. So it's not me that is saying Ogbeni. So he said, Ogbeni, what are you doing now? How can you say that, you know, 30% of the inmates should be released and all of that? Do you know the implication of this? Well, I'm not going to talk about this alone. I have Joke Aladesomi, the Executive Director, Center for Legal Support and Inmate Rehabilitation, on the show this morning. Joke, good morning to you. Thank you for finding time to come through.
Thank you so much, Sheriff. It's nice seeing you again. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here. Let's start with this point blank. Listen, so what are the factors responsible? Because there's a reason why we have a 70% of people on our waiting trial in our prisons. What are those factors responsible for, you know, people being kept in prison without being tried?
All right, thank you very much. So this issue of having several persons on a waiting trial has been like the top of the topic when it comes to matters that relates to criminal justice system. There are several of them awaiting trial. Just according to what the minister said, more than 70% are waiting trial. And really, if you're very familiar with the procedure of from the point of arrest down to the point of conviction, you will understand how that is so possible. The first thing first is this. Yeah. When somebody is arrested and you take them through the process of arraigning them in court, it starts usually from the magistrate court before it goes to the high court after the DPP, the Director of Public Prosecution's advice is out and is advising that this person should be taken to the high court or this person should be released immediately. Most times, that process of transferring the file to... just a minute. Okay, thank you. So most times, that process of transferring the file to the DPP's advice, it's one major concern. And that's one. And the second thing we also have to look at is actually the fact that a lot of these individuals that impacted, that justice involved individuals are people who are, you know, they are disadvantaged economically. they don't even have the finances to even get a lawyer. They don't even have, and the church remains down. Once you're remanded, even if the court grants you bail, if you cannot afford it, you remain there.
You will be there.
You just have to be there. If you cannot, you can't meet up with your bail conditions. You can't meet up. So trial keeps coming up. There's always adjournment for trial. There is no legal representation, okay. And that keeps coming over and over again. Of course, the person is going to be there. And another thing, you know, the minister also made mention of a majority of these persons, you know, charged for petty offense.
He said that. He said that.
People who are charged for loitering, for urinating in public. You'll be surprised that there are people who are in prison for 3 years, 4 years, and what they are just there for is because they can't pay their fine. I know how many times as an organization that we've had to go and pay the fine of some persons to bring them out of custody. And they are just there. Because the truth is, these same people cannot even afford everyday living. They can't even afford feeding. And then they're in the prison. And you think there's to be 20,000. You're taking a beggar on the side, by the roadside.
Yeah.
And you're charging the person and sentencing the person, to prison. There is no way the person will be able to afford that. So there's been this conversation around criminalizing petty offenses. Because as long as that is in our laws, you keep having a lot of persons in the correctional facilities.
The minister says something that I really reckoned with when I read it. And he said that, I mean, imagine you picking up somebody for sleeping under the bridge, for instance. The person didn't have a home to start with. That's why the person was sleeping under the bridge. And you arrest the person for loitering. And you take the person to court. And the court said, go and pay this fine. Perhaps he doesn't even have a family member. And he's just there in the prison, you know, occupying space. And he was saying, people like this should don't our state... how do we call it now? State judiciaries, are they not aware of people like this? Or is it because they have to follow the law? That's why they had to sentence such people to prison.
Okay, yeah. First thing first, it's still in our laws. That's the first thing. But the Nigerian Correctional Service Act of 2019 and also the Administration of Criminal Justice Law already brought about the idea of non-custodian measures. So instead of you remanding these people in prison, are there other ways they can pay for the offense? Are there other ways? Can you at least sentence them to community service? Can you at least sentence them to, probably you go and clean the market or all of all those things, than telling these same poor people, if someone is begging, if someone has so much money, the person will not be on the roadside begging for money. So sentencing that person to court, a term of imprisonment, is definitely adding to the problem of that person. And mind you, when they are connected, when they are sentenced and they come back, their issues are usually worse. Than they even got it. Of course. You know, for instance, now there was a story I was reading some days ago of somebody who is, I think he's a carpenter or something. I was coming back at night and then he was arrested for loitering and all those things. So, for instance, somebody like that is being kept in custody for a period of 3, 4, 5 years. When that person comes out, maybe the little number of clients he's been able to gather have moved on. A lot of them have even forgotten their skills. A lot of them can't even start tracing their families. And so they come back to the society worse than they go back in. Survival becomes harder and more difficult than they even got in the first place. So it's high time we start looking beyond imprisonment, actually. It's high time to start looking beyond imprisonment.
Joker, you relate with inmates, like you've said, and you visit the custody centers more often because of what you do, your nature of work. Talk to me about the welfare of these inmates.
All right, so I'll start by making reference to the statistic. When we're talking about 75,000 persons across the country, for a facility, for instance, let me break it down a little. What it simply means is that for a facility that has the population capacity of holding like 1,500, is beginning to hold like 2,500, 3,000. Let's be frank, there is no way the welfare is going to be good. There is no way. There is no way. I've heard stories from some of our beneficiaries who tell us, see, to even sleep under the bed, you have to pay. Under the bed in prison. To even, like, it is that tough.
They pay to even close their eyes.
You hear different stories. Different, because the truth remains that you're stocking up a lot of people into a particular space. There is no way the feeding is going to be good. The population is already a mess up. So when we talk about welfare, you don't even need to visit the prison to understand what the welfare is going to be like. You don't have to even be there. By the time you wrap your head around, okay, the prison capacity in Nigeria is supposed to hold like 50,000, but it's presently holding 75,000. That's 136% higher than the regular percentage. So there is no way the welfare can be good. And it's not just the welfare. It goes down to every aspect of that sector. And the truth remains that, to be very frank with you, the initiative of the minister is a welcomed one. It's really a welcomed one because it's an urgent, it has become an emergency situation. Something needs to be done. If not, we are just going to keeping them in correctional facilities and grooming more hardened criminals. Because the truth remains that even our correctional facilities are still at the, they're still on the journey of, you know, of upping their rehabilitation measures. So when you bring people in there, you keep them in there. If you reach the Nigerian Correctional Service, they will tell you that, oh, their emphasis when it comes to rehabilitation is focused on convicted criminals. I'm sorry, convicted inmates. I think I would rather use that word. And then it's focused on them. But we have the percentage of those who are there are even awaiting trial. So you're keeping those ones there because 70%. You really can't tell. 70%. Do you know how high
that is? That's too high.
It's extremely too high.
That's too high. It's really too high.
Yeah, I
want to talk to you very briefly now because you said something about the minister's position. I was going to get your thoughts about that and then add this to it. Governors always do this prerogative of mercy. I think, I don't know how often they do it, but is that not enough? Are the governors not doing that already? The state's attorney generals, are they not doing that already? Is it chief judge that does it in the state? Yeah. Are they all not doing that already? Or do we need to do more?
Okay, just like what I said, that this is an emergency call.
Yeah.
They've been doing it quite all right. Every now and then they keep doing it. But it's an emergency call. It's like when you're trying to grant amnesty or pardon, and then you're giving it to 5 persons, to 10 persons, to 15 persons. Of what difference would 15 or even 50 or even 100 do in 75,000 persons?
Oh yeah.
Of what difference will it make? So it's not really going to make any difference. So it has become an emergency measure. And the truth remains that Nigeria is not going to be the first time to start considering this. It has happened in a lot of countries. Several, like the US, keeps doing it. As a matter of fact, during COVID period, it became the first way of addressing overpopulation in correctional facilities. It became the go-to solution.
It was a big topic.
Yeah,
actually,
it was a big topic that needed to be done. So now it is for us to, if we can start from this level, of actually trying to decongest the prison through these ideas. We can't stop there. Like I said, it's an emergency intervention. There is need for us to put in place more permanent measures. There is need for us to start talking about what are the things that can be on ground that can ensure that we don't find ourselves in this situation. Because the truth remains that if you release, let me also break it down for you. When the Minister of Interior is saying 30% of 75,000, so we're talking about over 21,000 people here. When you release these people and you just allow them come out without any help whatsoever, I can assure you that in no time we are back to congestion of the prison.
We'll be back to the same problem.
We'll definitely be back to it. And there is this misconception, which is one, as an organization, this is one thing we have always emphasized on. There is this misconception that the help that inmate needs is just freedom. The help they need is just legal assistance. But that's not true.
That's not what.
It's not true at all. They need more than, they want to come out, yes. But they need more than that. A lot of them want to survive. A lot of them want to be able to have work to do. Yeah. A lot of them want to be able to raise a family again. How much of this opportunity do we even give these people? You know, for instance, let me give you an instance. There's an ex-incarcerated person that works with us presently.
Okay.
He came out in April, and for good 4 months, he was sleeping in a classroom somewhere because he didn't have a home to go to. He didn't have a house to go to. And this is someone that is discharged and acquitted. So let me say this, Sheriff, that a lot of the consequences of incarceration does not know the innocent or the guilty. Let's break it down a little bit. When we say 70% are awaiting trial, if you want to say it according to the law, we are saying 70% are presumed innocent. That's what the law says. So what these people who are presumed innocent, they can come, they can be discharged and acquitted. And the consequences, the effect of incarceration is being borne by each and every one of them. So whether you are discharged and acquitted after 5 years, you still have to deal with the consequences of incarceration.
The stigmatization and the rest of them.
Yeah, the homelessness, the jobless, the joblessness, and all of all those things. So don't always think we need to get rid of that thing that makes us think that, oh, it's just to bring them out. Mm. When we bring them out without putting proper procedure in place,
right,
we would still find our correctional centers overly congested every now and then. And we can't keep bringing up this kind of intervention.
Mm. Listen, there are even people that were detained alone. When they came out, you know, the people on their streets started stigmatizing them, you know, on the streets, just on the streets. And they were just detained for a couple of days or even, you know.
Exactly.
And that's what this effect, you know, that's what it has on people. I'm going to open up the phone lines. We hear from people. Then I'll talk to you about another angle to all of these, Joker. 0700-993-993-993. You can call 01-277-0993. That's 01-277-1993, 01-277-2993, and 01-277-3993. Those are our studio lines. Female-only line is 01-465-7190 for female callers only. Make it brief, please, huh? Because we don't have time. We always don't have time. Maybe we should extend this program. Good morning to you.
Hello.
Morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you. We can hear you.
Yeah, my name is Toyin.
Welcome, Toyin.
Please,
welcome.
I would like to ask the guest.
Yes, please, go on.
I don't know.
Go on, please.
Related to what she's saying.
Go on.
Okay, so please, there's a court case that a friend of mine had. And the person was placed on bail. And after a while, that he was supposed to resurface, after meeting the bail plan, the guy disappeared with the shorties. What can one do in that sense?
Who disappeared with the shorties? Who disappeared?
The accused and the shorty that how will I say it? That they bailed him out.
Do you understand?
I'm trying to understand. Actually.
So hold on. Can you go over it again? We can't understand what you just said now.
Okay. There's a court case.
Okay.
And the judge placed the accused on a bill of, I think, $2 billion.
Okay.
And he was able to meet with the bill.
Okay.
So after the court was postponed, he was supposed to show
adjourned
up afterwards.
Okay.
Then afterwards, he didn't come, as well as the shorties, and since then, he has not been seen. Mm-hmm. What can one do in that sense?
Okay. All right.
Okay, so if I'm going to answer you, you as an individual cannot do anything. But the court has the power to actually issue bench warrants. So there's something they call bench warrants. Bench warrant means the security officers should look for him and bring him to court. So it's actually for the... definitely, I am sure the prosecutors are going to make application for bench warrants for him to be looked for alongside his shorties, and they should be presented to the court. When that happens, the court remands the person, and the person will most likely not get bail anymore. So as an individual, there is nothing
really
you can do. It is the court.
It
is for the court to issue bench warrants against that accused person.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I'm able to answer your question.
I hope you have. Let's take one more call before our break. Good morning to you. Please turn off your radio. Please turn it off and call me back, okay? Good morning to you. Morning.
Good morning.
Yes, please. Morning to you. Yes, please.
My name is Awo Omar.
You're welcome.
Hello. Yeah. So I want to find out from your guest, what effort is the government doing towards giving them skill while in detention or in prison, yeah, so that when they come out, they will find something doing that is profitable.
Right.
So is there something that's actually being done, like is done in most places?
Thank you.
Okay, so I love your question because this speaks a lot to what we do.
That's right.
So the reason why, let me quickly say this, that the reason why my organization, like Sheriff said, is Center for Legal Support and Inmate Rehabilitation. And one of the reasons why we started the organization is because I felt that there is a lot of emphasis on legal support, but very minimal conversations around rehabilitation. What happens to these guys when they are in prison? What happens to them when they are out?
Mm.
So even though the government has done a lot, really, they've been able to move far beyond, with the help of the Nigerian Correctional Service Act 2019, mm-hmm. they've been able to move to take some very vital steps. But the truth remains that there is no way. We're talking about 75,000 persons.
Yeah.
There is no way the government can do it alone. And that's why organizations like ours have actually brought about rehabilitation interventions. So for us, one of the things we actually do is we've been able to identify the major things that we can assist them with, mm-hmm. starting with education. For like 2 years now, we've been taking them virtual classes, teaching them online. Those who want to write exam, the general certificate exam examination, prepare them for the exam, give them enroll them, pay for their for the registration of the exams, and it's been really amazing. Just the last jump, one of our beneficiaries actually scored 313 in jump. And is in custody. Wow. 313. So beyond that, we are also, you know, organizing motivational events. We're organizing vocational trainings just to help them learn skills.
Right.
And there was a press release that my organization issued some days ago. I was saying that the congestion idea or measures of the Minister of Interior is actually not enough if there is no proper arrangement as regards skills acquisition of these incarcerated persons. Until you're able to, if you first and first identify who are the people who are benefiting from this, then structure a compulsory, a mandatory period where they can learn the skills. Because if you just say, oh, we are releasing 30% and you bring them out without no assistance at all, there's just going to be problem.
Right.
There's going to be more problem than we are right now as a country.
Right.
You know, set up those times, allow them to learn skills,
right,
empower them when
before
they
you embark on
before you
the discharge.
Before you eventually let them go.
Right.
And don't just teach them. So for us as an organization, we tell ourselves there is need for effective rehabilitation. We need to be, there is nothing like half-bake. When you're talking about rehabilitation, you can't be half-baked. You can't say, oh, we allow them to write exams. Oh, they are students of a national open university, but they don't have teachers teaching them. They don't have books. They don't have biros. They don't have all of these assistants. Oh, you're saying they can learn skills, but at times you visit most of their vocational rooms, and there is nothing there. There is need for us to be deliberate, but the truth remains that the government can't do it alone.
Right.
And that's why, as an organization, we've gone beyond legal support. We are saying we are not just going to say we are representing these guys in court and bringing them out. We need to be able to assist them with rehabilitation, so when they come out, they can be more positive and more productive.
Okay, let's take our break. We'll take this break. The calls are coming in. When we return, we'll take our final thought and questions on the show this morning. Lagos, stay with us on Nigeria Info 99.3. Be right back. The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info, Lagos, Nigeria. Good morning to you once again. If you're just tuning in, it's late now. I just come in now. We've been talking about prison decongestion. Jacquel Adesanmi is here with me in the studio. She is the executive director of an NGO that I love so much because of what they do, Center for Legal Support and Inmate Rehabilitation. What they do is that they help inmates who can't afford their legal representation in court. They help them out with some representation. They also helped with reintegration, rehabilitation, and the rest of them. Jacquel, a very lovely morning to you once again, and thank you for all that you do.
Thank you so much, Sheriff.
Let me take some messages, because the moment we came back, the phone lines are blinking and buzzing out of control, but we also need to take some messages as well. So I'm going to go to Facebook. Edward Chukwundi Moloku said, congesting the prisons in Nigeria can only be achieved by building more prisons which should be privately built and run. Incidentally, that's my next question. Willie William says, my uncle trained me through his life opportunity in Scottish prison. He was arrested and trained as a fashion designer. He was given machine money, and today he's happy for that arrest that has changed his life forever, as in forever. I am now even a benefit of that arrest, I swear. Jacquel, what's your reaction to this?
You know, the first one, with regards to building more prisons, of course that's going to help. Privatization of the prison, of the correctional facilities, is also going to help, because you have a lot of that in most of these developed countries, and it's been working for them, because now it becomes business, more like, you know, it's going to work. But I can tell you for a fact that having more structures is just going to solve the problem for a while. Until we are able to put in place the right measures. And when I mean the right measures, I mean going back to our laws. Insisting. See, the funny thing is, most of these ideas and policies are right in our laws. There is already the use of the emphasis on non-custodian measures. Can we start talking about probation? Can we start talking about parole? Can we start talking about community service? It is there. If we close our eyes to these interventions and we are just saying we are building more prisons, we are still going to find ourselves in overpopulation. Definitely, you can't help it.
It will only be a matter of time.
It will solve the problem at the beginning, but we are still going to find ourselves there. And another issue is rehabilitation. If there is no proper and effective rehabilitation measures put in place, just like what the other person who
this
said
Willie,
the message talked about, that said his uncle was arrested without nothing. He has nothing
he
when
had,
he was
he
arrested.
Nothing,
and then when he was arrested, he was taught taught fashion designing
that's
and
right.
now is doing extremely very well.
That's right. That's
Let
what he said.
That be the goal and the target of our correctional facilities. Mm. There is need for effective and proper rehabilitation measures to be deliberate. Mm. It's not half-baked. It's not half-baked. It's not, oh, they have classrooms. They don't have teachers. It's not they have vocational rooms. They have computer rooms. They don't have computers. Mm-hmm. Let there be proper measures, like deliberate measures. By the time we start seeing the benefit that comes out from people, because, oh my, I can tell you, these guys are actually very smart. We work with them.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, when we're having a virtual class for the female inmate, for the female incarcerated persons now, their contributions, you'll be amazed.
Yeah.
These are brilliant minds. Mm. The way they'll be answering the questions, you'll be amazed. Mm. They are extremely brilliant people here. And with their knowledge, with their brilliancy, is wasting away in the correctional facility. Can we put it to use? Mm. So until we start putting in place proper rehabilitation measures, where they can go there, and indeed they'll say, ah, I was better when I went there. Like, my life changed. Mm. Because if you're thinking as an individual that was our business, after all, they have committed an offense, let me break it down for you. Mm. What it means is that once somebody gets into the correctional facility and is there for a number of years, he comes out, is trying to survive, sorry, that same person can alt you very early in the morning to take your phone.
Oh.
Let me break it down. Oh. That same person will bring out knife and break your glass and carry your phone. That same person will come to your house with guns. So you can imagine if that same person have had the opportunity to be properly rehabilitated in a correctional facility, to have enough skills. And let me also say that there are a lot of people who got into the prison as an innocent person, accused for what they know nothing about. We have handled several cases like that. As a matter of fact, there's a particular matter we're handling right now that the complainant walked to me and told me to my face that the accused person did not commit the offense. I know that I did not commit it, but you should go and bring the person that committed it. And this guy was in prison for 4 months.
Oh, so you know
that he did not commit it, but you felt comfortable letting him be in prison for 4 good months? For somebody like that, if we had not come to his head, because He couldn't afford legal representation. He could not do that. He couldn't afford legal representation. He could not even pay for the bail that he was given.
Mm.
If he had remained like that, he was a dry cleaner before he got in. Sheriff, that 4 months he spent, this guy came back and he's been struggling with his dry cleaning business.
Oh.
So people go in there innocent and they come out trying to survive. When a man is trying to survive, whether we like it or not, they go extra miles.
Mm.
And the extra miles of these people, you can't really tell. So as an individual, as a citizen, we should be concerned with the welfare of prisoners. We should be concerned with the welfare of incarcerated persons. They should not be left behind, because if they do, they are coming back to haunt us.
Yeah.
Even if we can't make every one of them better, even if indeed there are people who are going to go there and they will and no matter the opportunity you give them, they're not going to be better. But I can tell you that there are a whole lot of persons. We see their responses to our interventions. Our mobile library, you know, our mobile library goes around all the correctional facilities, try to supply them books, try to, you know, increase their reading interest and all of that, alongside other interventions like vocational trainings and skills acquisition and all of that. And the responses we hear from them, as a matter of fact, one of the touching comments I've gotten from one of our beneficiaries is this.
He said,
since I got into this correctional facility, I've actually not joined the church. I've not joined anything. He said, do you know why? He said, because each time people come in there, they are dressed us as if we are all criminals. They are telling us, oh, you need to change, you need to. He said, but I did not commit the offense that's kept me here for 3 years.
I mean, the religious groups there inside the prison, they address them as,
well,
as
that's
though they're criminals.
Anybody coming to the prison, you're already in your mind, you're coming to meet people who are sinners, or people who have committed one crime. So you're telling them, you know, you need to be better, change and become a better person and all of. And he said, it hurts me, it breaks my heart. It's as if I'm being wounded every time I'm being out. He said, so I stayed away from everything. He said, but the mobile library allows me resources without having to put a blame on me. For somebody like that coming back to the society, nothing to go back to, nothing to, no work, no nothing. He's angry with the society. He's angry with the government. You can't really tell.
And he or she will take it out at some point if
no help comes. So enough of us ignoring them because, quote unquote, we think they are criminals. No, several of them are not.
Jackie, we have to leave it here. Look, me and you, we can talk for 5 hours and we'll have things to talk about.
I know.
Really. What caught my attention is, you know, the last time you were here, we talked about your mobile library and some of the things that we even had some of the people that you've helped on the show as well.
Yeah.
Who told us he was sentenced to life. I think he's life or death or something.
He was sentenced to life. He was life. Yeah, no, to death. He was on death row for 14 years.
He was on death row for 14
yeah,
years.
And he's been released now.
And he's been released. Thank you. Listen, you're doing amazing work, Jackie. Please.
Thank you.
And I know that you need all the help you can get.
Yes.
Please, how can people reach out to you for those who would like to volunteer and be part and who would like to help you in other ways as well? How can people reach out?
All right. Thank you so much, Sherry, for that. So our website is www.celsir. Celsir is CELSIR.org. CELSIR.org. Our Instagram page is Celsir, CELSIR_. Twitter, Celsir.org. So if you're checking any of the platform for CELSIR, you're going to be meeting us and you can always get across to us. And let me also say here that we presently have a need for anybody who wants to be of help. We're trying to make available past questions, GCE past questions to our beneficiaries.
Inmates.
Yes. We're trying to get across stationaries, biros, exercise books. If you're out there, you think you can help us with it, please, please, please reach out. It will go a long way. You're changing somebody's life. Like I always say, Sherry, permit me to say this.
Please do.
If you have an incarcerated person who wants to go back to school in prison, is a major step to change. They should not be discouraged. And when they don't have all of this help, how will they do it? So please reach out to us. Help us the way we can. We are helping people right there. We want them to be better. We want them to come back positive and productive. Just join us. Join us in the journey of impact.
Joke Aladesanmi, the executive director. Thank you so much for joining us. The executive director of Center for Legal Support and Inmate Rehabilitation, CELSA. Thank you again for everything that you do, Joke. I'm going to have you back in here sometime soon again to give an update. Thank you
always
again.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Joke.
Thank you so
Lagos,
much.
Lagos, that's our show. But before we go, let's see if we can give two or three people some money this morning. Yeah.
Get breaking news.